This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Kinsler's back again. Sadie's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up by the NBA, maybe hoping for or should be wishing for the opposite of what they usually want to see in their postseason. Plus, the biggest scandal in the sports world and the biggest controversy in the sports world. We'll get to that coming up here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Brought to you each and every day by Baker Roofing. They have been in business for over 100 years. They're one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the U.S., and they provide residential and commercial roofing. In 1915, Baker Roofing Company was founded on the promise of always good work. So give our friend Matt Johnson, general manager of Baker Roofing Charleston, a call, or head on over to bakerroofing.com for more information. Check out their incredible history. See all the different roofing types that are available online while you're there at bakerroofing.com. Over 100 years of always good work, Baker Roofing, bringing you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. We were talking best TV moms earlier. You know, if there is one TV mom that I would, if I had to choose a TV mom to be my actual mother, I think I would go, and I left her off the list of top TV moms, but I think I would go with Claire Dunphy from Modern Family. I think that may be the best of the TV moms, that if you had to swap out moms with one from the TV world, right? Because she was like the cool mom while also making sure to be loving and caring and making sure that, well, she had her own son named Luke, and whenever he would screw up, right, she would be able to still punish them. Was very close with the rest of her family. I think that's good. I had a good relationship with her brother, with her father, even eventually her stepmom, Sofia Vergara. So that may be the best. Now, I saw this list because we love to always focus on the negative. Forget, like, the best. What about the worst? This list from the Dallas Observer ranking the worst mothers in the entertainment world. They had number one as Mrs. Bates from Psycho. I think that's kind of unfair. Now, is there a did she have a backstory for why Norman Bates did what he did? But otherwise, if we're just saying because she is just a corpse at that point and her son's a terrible person, I don't know if that's fair. But that's number one of the worst mothers. Number two is Juanita Titus from Titus. I'm not familiar. And number three is Olivia Soprano, who I was saying earlier. Get that out of here. Margaret from Carrie is number four. And Lucille Bluth also made my list. She's number five. So we're in a big disagreement with the Dallas Observer, who, by the way, number six has Beverly from Serial Mom. That was a funny movie back in the 90s. Kathleen Turner. You could also make the case she was kind of a good mom because she was always doing it for her kids. That was the ultimate helicopter mother. That whenever somebody wronged her kids, she would get back at them by, well, essentially killing them. She was the serial mom. It was a funny movie from the early 90s.
So a more psychotic Beverly Goldberg.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Also forgot about Katie Otto, an American Housewife.
Oh, yeah, I've seen episodes of that. Yeah, she's a good one, too. I see on this list they have Estelle Costanza's number seven. Yeah, that may be fair. All she did was yell. Pamela Voorhees from Friday the 13th is number nine. Yep, she was, she was doing it out of because of her son.
Yeah, she was the first. She was the killer in the first one.
Right, which actually came out yesterday, 41 years ago, was the anniversary. Came out in May, the first one. And then, yes, Jason Voorhees took over moving forward with the second one when he had the sack over his head, with just like the one eye hole in the second one, and he had the shrine to his mother, Pamela. Same idea. I mean, those are crimes of passion. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you she's a hero or anything, but, you know, it's because she was trying to get revenge after her son had was killed or died in Friday the 13th. So, serial mom, Pamela Voorhees. You know, parents do crazy things for their kids. I don't know what to tell you. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. You know, we started the show talking about the NBA playoffs, which begins next week. What's interesting is that we're winding down the NBA season, and we know what to expect there, and we're looking at the seeding and, okay, who's going to avoid the play-in tournament. The NHL season is also winding down this week. We have no idea what's going on there. They don't know when the NHL playoffs are going to begin because they have some games that need to be made up. And really, it's essentially the same two teams that need to make up a bunch of games. They're going to play like four times this week, and the rest, some of the other teams are sitting around, and even the fans are like, all right, well, we don't know yet when the playoffs are going to start. Just let us know. And the NHL, they're still trying to figure things out at the end of this regular season. For the NBA, we know the playoffs begin next week with the play-in round. And we're a week away from the NBA playoffs, and the talk is still about the two preseason favorites. We focus on the Nets and the Lakers because it's New York and it's L.A., the two biggest cities, and the two of the bigger brands nowadays. The Nets historically are not, but now that you have Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving, they've become one of the most popular teams in the league, and they're the two teams with the most star power. So we focus on those two. And if you're Adam Silver in the NBA offices today in New York, you're probably hoping that that's the matchup you get. That may be the most ideal matchup, Durant and LeBron, Anthony Davis and Kyrie and James Harden. New York City against L.A., even though Brooklyn will always be second fiddle to the Knicks, even when they are much better than the New York Knicks in that city. But would it actually be best for the NBA if those two teams did not win or even make it to the NBA Finals? And it sounds backwards, because the NBA has always been built on their stars. Going back to the 60s, it's always been about the stars of the league. And the stars have carried the NBA. Right? Magic and Bird saved the NBA. Dr. J first, you know, with the ABA, and then he came into the NBA and was like, ooh, that's pretty cool. And then it was Magic and Bird saving the NBA, and then it was Jordan making the NBA global. And now LeBron nowadays, and even Steph Curry having a big impact. It's always been about the stars. And the stars are the one who win championships, and the stars are the one who you tune in for, you buy their jerseys. It's always about the star players. That's what the NBA has been built on their big cities, the big brands, the big fan bases, the big names. 65 of 74 NBA champions in the history of the league have come from the top half of the NBA markets, right? Big cities winning all the championships. And that's exactly what these professional sports want. You want the Dodgers, Yankees. You love the Lakers, Celtics history in the NBA. You don't care so much about the Pirates or the Royals or the Tampa Bay Rays or the Sacramento Kings. Same idea in the NFL, right? You want the Cowboys to be interesting. The NFL will be releasing their schedule on Wednesday. Look to see how many national games some of those big brands get. The Cowboys, the Packers, even the Giants, for as poor as they have been lately, they still get plenty of primetime games because it's New York. It's a big brand. A lot of fans. The New York Giants, you talk about that team name. And the Mara family and all the people that will be tuning in are the big fan base that they have. It's still about those big Jacksonville Jaguars, meanwhile, is like, all right, we'll give them, everybody has to have one national game. All right, we'll throw them on a Thursday night in September. Get it out of the way. They always play the Titans every year because nobody cares about the Jaguars or the Titans, so let's just have them play each other Thursday night every year. That's their one national game, and then we're done with them. But for the NBA this year, as the playoffs begin next week, could it actually be good for them if those two teams, the Lakers and the Nets, don't actually make it into the NBA Finals? Because if you have followed the NBA, if you're a fan of the NBA, you've kind of been knocked over the head year after year about how maybe irrelevant the NBA regular season has become over the years. How it loses its value or its level of importance decreases seemingly each year. It's why the NBA, a large part, why they had to come up with this new play-in tournament. To make things more intriguing this time of year. To have more teams care. To have more players actually play in games than sit out. But since this load management era has begun, where players sit, teams essentially take nights off. Then you get to this time of year, they just take the rest of the season off. Like, all right, we're not going to the playoffs. So no use in playing. Or you have teams with star players that are good teams where they feel, it's best to just get prepared for the postseason, for the playoffs. Because the playoffs are almost their own season. It takes 2 months. You got to make sure your guys are ready to go. So let's rest them. Let's sit them here in the regular season. And I think this is part of the reason as well that it doesn't matter what happens during the regular season when it comes to the playoffs. Because the NBA playoffs with their series and the amount of rounds, you weed out the bad teams, the frauds, the lucky teams, the teams that don't belong, you find the true best champion. It's not always the case in the NFL. It's not always the case in March Madness. But when it comes to, say, baseball with the long series, right? When it comes to basketball with their long series, you can find the best team. Baseball now, however, baseball is kind of going against that with their change where we saw this past year, right? You had everybody playing in the first round, and it was, what was it, like a five-game series, three-game series? That could lead to more parity. Or even their wild card round, which is a single game. Yeah, you don't have your pitching lined up. Your ace has an off night. Now maybe the better team doesn't win there. That could alter the entire postseason. But in the NBA, it's all long series. And the best team is usually there in the end. And that best team isn't always the team that has the best record in the regular season. In fact, they're usually not. In the last 18 years, only five of the top overall seeds in the NBA have actually reached the NBA Finals. Five of the last 18. I think back to the Atlanta Hawks under Budenholzer. They were a great regular season team. Can never win in the postseason. The Raptors for years kept winning their division. They were a number one or a number two seed. They were always at the top of the East. And then it took till they got Kawhi Leonard to actually turn that into a championship. In the East, in the past dozen years, the only time the number one seed actually made it to the NBA Finals was when LeBron was on one of those teams. He did it twice. Otherwise, it has never occurred in the last 12 years. The 76ers have spent the majority of this season at the top of the East. The Jazz have spent most of this season with the number one record in all of basketball. But if they don't reach the finals, would we even be surprised? Because that's what we've grown used to seeing. Teams have great regular seasons because maybe they try a little bit harder. Or maybe they're a little bit younger, so they have more energy. They care more about the regular season. Then you have the teams with the veterans that are actually the teams winning the championships. The teams with the stars, like the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets. And it's like, okay, Kyrie wants to take a week off. No problem, just as long as you're here for the playoffs. All right, let's shut down James Harden. Make sure he's good for the playoffs instead of rushing him back for the final week of the season. LeBron wasn't even with the team for the past week. He wasn't even sitting on the bench. He wasn't at the games. Like, ah, that's okay. Just come back in time for the playoffs. Just make sure you're good to go for the postseason. That's all that matters. Right? There'll be teams that will have great success in the regular season, but it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, once we reach the playoffs, they don't have the star power of a Lakers or a Nets, and those are the teams that take over come playoff time. The Jazz, the Suns, they're the opening act. Right? They get you through the regular season. And then, but you're waiting around, you're sitting around waiting for the playoffs. Like, all right, when are the real stars going to come out and play? When are we going to get to see LeBron and Anthony Davis on the floor together for a seven-game series? When are we going to see the big three in Brooklyn? And assuming they're healthy, that will come in the postseason. The Brooklyn Nets will have more games played in the playoffs with those three together than all of the regular season. And so if this happens this year where, say, the Jazz, maybe the Jazz get knocked out in the second round. The Sixers end up losing to the Brooklyn Nets anyways. Like, well, what was the point of the regular season? The Sixers had the better record. They won the season series against Brooklyn, but come playoff time when it's about the stars and the Nets made sure their stars were out there, they won the series. So who cares what happens in the regular season? Because it just comes down to the playoffs, and the playoffs come down to which teams have the stars, and that's all that matters. Not which team played better during the regular season, not which team entered the playoffs the hottest. Because Brooklyn, LA, they're not the hottest teams right now, but they have the most star power. And if they end up getting to the championship, like we still believe, the Lakers are still the favorite in Vegas, then we'll look at it and think like, well, what's the point of even playing the regular season? The Jazz, the Suns, the Sixers could be all, you know, so good, but they don't have the stars to match up with a Brooklyn or an LA. And I compared it earlier to when Clemson first sprouted up and won that national championship. It gave everybody else hope in the sport. A lot of different fan bases throughout the country, a lot of different programs. Like, wait a minute, if Clemson can do it, we could do it as well. And that's what the NBA kind of needs right now. If the Jazz could go on and win a championship, Donovan Mitchell is really good. Rudy Gobert is a really good, certainly on the defensive end. You know, they got a good coach. They do have a good fan base. But when you talk about the national landscape of the NBA or the top players in the NBA, your mind doesn't immediately jump to the Jazz or Donovan Mitchell, as good as he may be. Right, you're thinking more of the James Hardens, the Anthony Davis, the LeBron, you know, the Kyrie, Kevin Durant, even guys like Steph Curry and Giannis. Those are the guys you're watching for. But if you could see a team like the Jazz come up and actually win it, I mean, they couldn't back in the day. They had Malone and Stockton, still couldn't break through and win. They kept losing every year. But if they could finally break through, or even the Phoenix Suns make it to the NBA Finals out of the West, gives hope to a lot of other fan bases or teams like, hey, we too could do this. We could be the next Phoenix Suns. We could pull this off. It's not just about being in a big city with big stars. Being a big brand, being the LA Lakers or the Boston Celtics and getting stars to come play for you. No, us too can try this with the Suns. But without that, you start to lose hope. When the same teams win in college football year in and year out, you start to lose hope. Your goals start to change. Like, ah, let's just win our conference. Or let's just get to our conference championship in college football. We know we can't go win a championship. We know we can't compete with Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State. You know, let's just get to a bowl game. Let's win 8 games this year. You don't have any hope. There's 100 and whatever it is now, 135 Division I football teams, maybe more than that at this point. I can never keep track. I can't remember. They add more every year. And really only about 5 of them have a chance of actually winning a championship. The rest of them, you're just in it to, you know, you hope to win some games, have a good year, maybe go to a good bowl. Every once in a while, surprise some people, compete for your conference, but it's the same teams. In the NBA, historically, it's been the same teams. All but 9 championships have come from the top half of the markets in the NBA. Right, it was the Bulls throughout the 90s. Historically, it's always been the Lakers, Celtics. More recently, the Warriors have dominated. Now, wherever LeBron goes, whether it's Miami, Cleveland, or L.A., now Brooklyn has the stars. We think they're going to be really good for the next couple of years. It's the same teams over and over again, whichever ones can get the stars. And a lot of these cities or a lot of these teams in the NBA can't get those stars. I feel like they can never compete. Right? The Sacramento Kings, when are they ever going to break through and try to win a championship? They haven't been to one. And when are some of these other teams in these small markets, smaller markets, going to be able to get some stars together and make it to the NBA championship? But if you get a surprise this year, it could give hope. You know, think back to in your own life, something you always lose that when you finally win or you get really close. You know, if they just at least make it to the finals or they beat the Lakers in the playoffs or the Sixers or somebody like that does actually beat the Nets. Maybe, who knows, you get, depending on how the seeding plays out, I don't know, maybe you go up against the Knicks or the Hawks or somebody, and the Knicks are a big brand and a big city, of course. But you go up against somebody that knocks off the Brooklyn Nets, and it's like when you knock over the bully at school, and everyone's like, oh, wait a minute. There's a new sheriff in town. We can stand up to this kid as well. And that could be the case if somebody in the NBA surprises the league this year. It just gives a lot of hope to a lot of teams, instead of always focusing on the same teams and the same stars, because that's usually what the NBA comes down to. Coming up, we'll get to the biggest controversy, the biggest scandal right now going on in the sports world. We'll get to that when we come back. It's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Moore Midday Show.
Coming up, the biggest scandal in sports from over the weekend. It's the Moore Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Do want to tell you about Lyerly's Dry Cleaners. They can pick up or deliver right to your home or office. They handle shirts, suits, and casual wear to curtains, comforters, and regular old household laundry. You can call or text them at 843-377-699 to schedule a free pickup. Mention you heard about Lyerly's right here on ESPN Radio Charleston, and you can receive 20% off your next order. You can't beat it. You can even track your dry cleaning as well to see exactly when it will be ready or delivered. Lyerly's Dry Cleaners. Big story from over the weekend. We got the news yesterday that the winner of the Kentucky Derby, Medina Spirit, tested positive or failed the post-race drug test. Ended up testing positive. The horse had more than twice as much of a substance he was supposed to, which was essentially it was like pain medication. It was anti-inflammatory, and it's supposed to take away the pain for the horse. So in case the horse is dealing with some sort of issue, right, they don't feel it, and they can keep running and all that sort of stuff. But anyways, it broke the rules, the drug testing rules of the Kentucky Derby, and after the horse had won. Now, if you listened to the show, I told you to take Medina Spirit. Little did I know, Medina Spirit was up to something that he shouldn't have been. Fortunately for the bettors, if you did follow me and played Medina Spirit, they don't ask for money back. They're not going to take your money back if you won the race. That's all final. I already spent that money on a nice meal at Sizzler and a new pair of shoes. Sorry, can't give it back to you. But for those that bet in the Derby and that lost, most sports books would not refund those either. Like, this is just what happened. And that was the race. Those were the results. Now, a week later, we get this outcome. But some of the newer sports books, like when you talk about FanDuel, some places like that, they do refund on that, and that's really more for the PR. They'll give you, like, a credit. You know, here's the money, but spend that on another bet. But typically, even in a case like this, nothing changes in the betting world. So if you did bet, if you won, good news is you don't have to give anything back. If you lost, well, it depends on the sports book, who you may have used. We'll see how they handle this. If they issue refunds to those who bet on the Derby and lost, I would think not, because there's so much money involved. You don't want to give it all back like that. But we'll see what happens for those that did bet on it. But Medina Spirit, the horse that won the Kentucky Derby last week, pops positive here, popped on a drug test. This was Bob Baffert, of course, the historic and legendary, I think he's already in the Hall of Fame, I think, a great trainer in the sports world who was the trainer for this horse who won the Derby, then tested positive. Here was Bob Baffert from his own ranch yesterday as he was interviewed talking about this news.
Yesterday, I got the biggest gut punch in racing for something that I didn't do. And this is really, it's disturbing. It's an injustice to the horse. I feel like, you know, here you win a race, and you're still not, to me, I don't know what's going on in racing right now, but there's something not right. And I don't feel embarrassed. I feel like I was wronged. And I'm not a conspiracy therapist. I know no everybody's not out to get me, but there is definitely something wrong. Why is it happening, you know, to me? You know, there's problems in racing, but it's not Bob Baffert.
That was Bob Baffert yesterday. I like how he said he's not a conspiracy therapist. We could use some therapists out there for all the crazy conspiracy theories some people have, like Mel Gibson in the movie Conspiracy Theory back in the 90s. But I also love this quote that was at, it wasn't in that clip, but he said later on in regards to Medina Spirit, the quote from Bob Baffert, quote, "He's a great horse. He doesn't deserve this." Do you think that horse has any idea what's going on? Do you think that horse will have any idea that they're going to strip him from his victory at the Kentucky Derby? That quote made me laugh. He's a great horse. He doesn't deserve any of this. He has no idea what's going on. What he maybe doesn't deserve is being, filled up with drugs he's not supposed to and then having somebody on his back whipping him to run faster. Maybe that's what he doesn't deserve. Instead of taking away a title, he has no idea that he even won. He just wants to go eat some oats and hay afterwards. Yeah, oh, I won? I won the race? Oh, I didn't even know I was racing. I mean, they put those things, the tunnel vision, right? They don't even want you to see the other horses. They want you to just run straight. That horse had no idea what he was doing out there. He didn't know he won. You got to celebrate. That horse, maybe he got some extra pound of hay to eat or whatever it was. I don't know. What do you do with these horses afterwards? But I like that quote. That made me laugh. Like like the horse is an actual athlete that gets stripped of a belt when they don't think they did anything wrong. He's a great horse. He doesn't deserve this. He has no idea what's going on. All he knows is you're injecting him with something. And he got whipped a little bit last week, and then seemed to be happy after he ran a little bit, so he must have done something good. That's all he knows. Now, I bet on the horse, and I thought he was going to win, and he did. It's going to be the first time, assuming this holds up, it'll be the first time that the horse is disqualified for medication after winning the Derby since 1968. That was the only other time it's happened. Now, what's odd about this is that he is still going to be allowed to race this week, and I guess they're still investigating. But it's going to be a little bit weird if it's the Preakness, right, on Saturday, if this horse is involved when he is now, quote-unquote, you know, he's a known cheater. And then you're just going to let him come race in the next one anyways and try to compete for a Triple Crown. In the meantime, Bob Baffert has been suspended from Churchill Downs, from the Kentucky Derby, and he's won the last two Derbies. So I'm curious how long this is going. I've seen people say banned, and then I've seen others say suspended. If he's banned, usually a ban, that's like a lifetime ban, right? When you hear the word ban, you think that's permanent. Like, oh, I'll never be allowed back. When you hear suspended, it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, by next year's Kentucky Derby, maybe he'll be okay. So I have no idea if this investigation is upheld, if they confirm this failed drug test. If Baffert is banned at Churchill Downs, I mean, he's won, I think it's what, seven of these derbies now? Six of them? He's won the last two. Imagine if he's no longer involved in the Kentucky Derby. That would be wild. And again, we only talk horse racing usually three times a year for the three Triple Crown races. But this was a big story that you have a winner at the Kentucky Derby, second time ever, that the winner at the Kentucky Derby, like the biggest event of the year for this sport, and then a few days later that horse popped on a test that he was taking something or was given something. And you can't say taking. He was given something that he shouldn't have been. Now, as Bob Baffert said, he's not a conspiracy therapist. But what's interesting is then he followed that up today with his own conspiracy theory, or maybe not a conspiracy theory, but at least a theory to what happened. This is what Bob Baffert said earlier today. He said that a groom around the stalls of the horses urinated in the stall, and he was taking cough medicine, this groom. He was taking cough medicine. He urinated on the hay near the horse in the stall, and then the horse ate some hay, and that's why he failed the drug test. That's Bob Baffert's theory today, is that's what happened. Here's the problem. That very well may be true. I have no idea. Sounds crazy, but who knows? Crazier things have occurred. And we're talking about a horse here. I mean, would they really care? They're eating the hay anyways. But here's the problem, is that this is the fifth horse in the last 12 months of Bob Baffert, the fifth Bob Baffert horse in the last year to pop on a drug test. And it's happened, I think it's 10 times now in Baffert's career. Or, pardon me, 29 times in Baffert's career. So it's not like he has a squeaky clean record and this happened. It's like, whoa, this doesn't seem right. It's happened five times in the last year to horses trained by Bob Baffert. So either, you know, he's doing something he shouldn't, or he's got a serial urinator around there who has some really bad allergies. And he's taking a lot of cough medicine and he's peeing all over the place for whatever reason. And then these horses are eating that hay. Because that's his logic, that's his theory of why this happened to Medina Spirit, was that he ate some hay in a stall where one of the grooms peed on it while taking cough medicine. And that led to this horse popping on a drug test. It's a really kind of crazy story when you think about that's the possibility. When we talk about Barry Bonds taking drugs, we're not like, well, I think his trainer happened to pee on his food and then he ate it. And that's why Barry Bonds tested positive for steroids. When you're talking about animals instead of actual people, you know, athletes, like that, it's that's when you get these quirky stories like this. But the greats, the legendary greats, always get caught doing something maybe they shouldn't. Lance Armstrong, Bill Belichick has gotten in trouble, and now Bob Baffert is, you know, the greatest horse trainer of all time, and yet here we go, he's got this cloud hanging over him. Did he just cheat his way to another Kentucky Derby win? And does that invalidate some of his success over the years? Do we start to wonder, you know, how squeaky clean is this guy? Has he been doing, no wonder he's so good. Has he been doing some things he shouldn't? So, very curious to see what goes from this. All I care about, or I shouldn't say all I care about, the thing I most care about is that they're not going to be calling me asking for my winnings back. I'm not giving a dime back. I already spent that money. Thank you, Medina Spirit. However you did it, with your cough medicine, with your anti-inflammatory, with some groom peeing on your hay, I don't care how it happened. Thank you for the win. In my book, it still stands. But we'll see what happens with the Kentucky Derby. And when you want to talk about somebody like Bob Baffert, right, that's like banning Pete Rose from the Hall of Fame. That's like when Barry, if anybody fails a drug test, a star, if Barry Bonds actually failed the drug test during his playing days and saying, all right, you can't play anymore. I mean, that could be a pretty big deal if they actually do ban Bob Baffert at Churchill Downs. He's won the last two Kentucky Derbies. 843-721-9500. Let's go to the phones. Rob is with us. Rob, what's going on? How are you?
I'm all right. How are you all today?
Doing well. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to call in and say, you know, I feel bad for the owners and the trainers, and, you know, they spent a lot of time and effort with that horse only to find out that he's really a scumbag cheater. I mean, he knows he's guilty. I mean, just look at his long face.
Yeah, very good. Appreciate it, Rob. Yes. That's the low-hanging fruit there with the horse. I was going to say, you know, actually, when I was thinking of this story, I did have that line teed up, and I forgot to get to it. And I guess I'm happy I didn't, because it is the low-hanging fruit. I appreciate the joke from Rob. But I was going to say that with that quote earlier that I love. You know, this is a great horse. He doesn't deserve it. And I was going to say, you could tell he's really torn up about it because of the long face. But Rob beat me to it. It certainly calls into question, you know, everything else going on, because there's now five horses for Bob Baffert over the past 12 months alone. None as high of a profile as Medina Spirit. 843-721-9500. Let's go back to the phone. Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
You know, this is a cruel thing to do to a horse. There was a couple of movies about that. James Bond was one of that horse doping. You know, the guy was rich. And he was doping horses and had a secret passage and all that. James Bond and another guy found it and all that stuff, but this is too cruel. People not thinking about the animals. I mean, nobody's thinking about spending all that money on these beautiful horses, and they just get treated cruel like this. This is not no jokey matter.
Yeah, well, you know, horse racing in general is, you could say, that's animal cruelty towards the horses. I mean, to throw somebody on their back with a whip, making them race like that, and for the amount of deaths, especially it's the, what is it, the Santa Ana? There's that one track out in California that is historically bad in terms of the horse deaths. So, I mean, in terms of taking good care of the horses, I would say, you know, if it was all about the health of these horses, you would abolish horse racing. You would get rid of the horse racing to begin with. And I don't know enough about horses to know, you know, I mean, the idea is that they gave them an anti-inflammatory. They gave them almost like a pain, but like taking an ibuprofen when you have a headache to mask the pain. You don't feel that pain anymore. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, that they help the horse kind of feel better, but then also to have him go out there and run when maybe he shouldn't have. I don't know. I mean, he's going to run this weekend, so whatever it is, it can't be too bad if he's dealing with some sort of injury. So I don't know about that, but it is a shame that this we had this winner at the Kentucky Derby in the world of horse racing. It's a shame that we had this winner at the Kentucky Derby, and now a week later it's called into question because of this drug test. But horse racing has always had problems. And the old line is, you want to know what horse you know isn't doping, you want to know what horse they're not cheating with, whichever one finishes in last. Otherwise, anytime there's money involved, something like this with horse racing, a lot of money thrown around there. You know, these trainers, the owners, the horses, they're up to something. The horses obviously don't know that what they're doing is wrong. They're not the ones. They're not the guilty party. By the way, we need the old drum beat symbol for such jokes as we had earlier. That's what we need, that sound effect for any joke like the long horse, the long face of the horse. That's what we need to really appreciate the punchline. We'll see what happens with Bob Baffert and Medina Spirit and moving forward. We know over the years, you know, horse racing is very shady, and this is the latest example. But I do love that line. Right? This horse does not deserve that. He has no idea what's going on. He was just eating some hay. Little did he know that a groom in the stall urinated on the hay while on cough medicine. That's going to be my excuse. Right? When I didn't have anything to drink. Somebody peed in my drink. He was taking cough medicine. That's why. Not that I would ever have to worry about such a thing. Coming up, the biggest controversy. If that was the biggest scandal in sports over the weekend, the sports world also gave us the biggest controversy going on in the sports world as well. We'll help settle that when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher.
Coming up,
and it burns.
We just talked about the biggest scandal in the sports world from over the weekend. What about the biggest controversy in the sports world from over the weekend? We'll get to that in just a moment here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. You've probably been hearing the commercials, but I do want to let you know they're hiring over at Kearney & Sons, 72 degrees, air conditioning and heating. You've heard the commercials, but, I mean, what a tremendous opportunity for those in the field. You could join their team, check them out online or at their social media. You know, they value family time, and they have for over 37 years. They're a family owned company, and they believe you should earn while you learn, and they have training programs to get you where you want to be in your career. Kearney and Son, 72 degrees air conditioning and heating, now hiring all full-time positions. And if you hear in the commercial, I mean, a signing bonus up to $5,000. Optional four-day work week, that's speaking my language. Benefits that include insurance, 401k, paid time off and vacation. So you can check them out online, Kearney & Son, 72 degrees, air conditioning and cooling. We're in a situation now, you see these things online, like a bunch of different restaurants posting things. They need people to come fill their jobs. There's more jobs than willing people at the moment with a lot of these places. And Kearney & Sons with a great opportunity there if you're in the HVAC industry. So we talked about the big scandal from over the weekend with the Kentucky Derby winner. What about the big controversy? This happened Friday night in New York. The New York Mets were playing a game, and in the after the top of the seventh inning, there was a little bit of a melee. There was some movement going on over by their dugout. And you couldn't see what exactly was happening because it was down the tunnel. But players were coming off the field. Michael Conforto was the most notable one that he stopped. He was looking down, then you could see the expression on his face where his jaw kind of dropped, and he went running into the tunnel. And other players went running into the tunnel. And it had to get sorted out. And nobody really knew what happened because there was no camera there. You couldn't see it on the broadcast. What happened? You know, were guys fighting in the tunnel? Were two players getting into it? We know it was between Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil, the two middle infielders of the New York Mets. And everybody assumed that they got into a fight in the tunnel mid-game. Now, it's funny because in that very next half inning, Lindor hit a tying home run. The Mets ended up winning, and they won all three games so far to this point since this incident on Friday night. But everyone was very curious about what happened. Did they get into a fight? And we're talking about New York. The New York media, they couldn't wait to pounce on this story. So they were looking forward to the press conference after the game when Francisco Lindor was asked about this. And Lindor was asked, you know, hey, what happened? With all that commotion, players were running into the tunnel. People did not look happy. They had some serious faces like, oh, shoot, what's going on? What happened between you and Jeff McNeil? Here was Francisco Lindor's explanation in the press conference after the game Friday night.
Hey, Francisco, what exactly happened in the tunnel there?
Steve, it was funny because I told him, I was like, hey, I'd never seen a New York rat. So we went down sprinting about to go see a New York rat. And he got mad at me. He's like, no, it's not a rat. It's a raccoon. I'm like, hell no, man. It's a damn rat. It's a New York rat, man. I was just crazy because we were going back and forth debating if it was a rat or a raccoon. Crazy, man. Insane.
Who was he? Who are you debating that with?
With Jeff. I was like, bro, you gotta check this out. I was like, this is a New York rat. He's like, no, man, I've been here longer than you.
That was Lindor Friday night. Right? What's the old line? Like, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. I mean, what a bunch of garbage that is. We talked last week about athletes that were lying right to us, like Aaron Rodgers and LeBron James. This one was even more notable because it's just such nonsense. It's taking everybody in, not that room because of COVID, but on that Zoom call is a bunch of suckers and all New York fans and sports fans as well, to try to say that that's what was going on in the middle of the seventh inning of a baseball game. You're having a debate in the tunnel of the clubhouse, down to the clubhouse, over whether it was a rat or a raccoon running around there. Please, what a bunch of garbage. We know they were fighting. Jeff McNeil backed this up. Then the next day, during Jeff McNeil's press conference on Saturday, Lindor came in, gave him a hug, and joked around about it and said, you were right, it was a raccoon. But Luis Rojas, the manager, was not having it Friday night. He would not play along with the story, nor would the GM. We know what happened. But it's funny, when you're trying to think of an excuse, that's the excuse you go to. How ridiculous. Now, in New York, they are known for their disgustingly huge rats. And that may be the one area you could confuse them for a raccoon. But who's mixing up a rat for a raccoon? Those things, not only do they look different sizes, completely different tails, everything. Now, I've seen some nasty images from restaurants in New York City with rats that are way too big. Gives me the creeps just thinking about it. But who confuses a rat for a raccoon? And in the middle of the seventh inning, that's what you're worried about? Also, you may want to think of the story. I don't know if you want to put that out there. I don't know if the Mets are hearing that in the press conference and they think, oh, well, you know, good thing they covered up for their fight. But could you come up with a better excuse than telling everybody that we have New York rats in our clubhouse? In the tunnel of Citi Field, hey, come on out to a ball game. Come get a hot dog from a stadium that's apparently infested with either a raccoon in the tunnel of the clubhouse or New York City rats running around, you know, in our concession stands in our stadium. Come out and see a game. Like, I don't know if that's the best sales pitch either, to try to play off that's what's going on in your club. If that's going on in the clubhouse or the tunnel to the clubhouse of the stadium, what else is going on in that stadium? There was a minor league baseball team in New York. They're no longer around after Major League Baseball cut a lot of the minor league teams. But they wanted to, and I think they may have, named themselves the Pizza Rats because there was this viral video from the subways of New York a couple years ago where there was a huge, nasty rat like dragging a piece of pizza, a full piece of pizza. And that's how big this rat was, that it was carrying this big piece of pizza and was eating it. And they wanted to change the name to the New York Pizza Rats. And it was a Yankees affiliate, and the Yankees hated that idea. I think they did change the name. And that was part of the reason why the Yankees, when they had the opportunity this past offseason, moved on from them. It was Staten Island, I believe. the Staten Island Pizza Rats. They were the Staten Island Yankees. And the Yankees thought, you want to change your name from the Yankees to the Pizza Rats and celebrate the nasty rats we have in this city? And that didn't go over too well in the end for that organization. But rat or raccoon, and now I hear that, I can't even say the name of that animal correctly. Joe, when you see a raccoon, how do you pronounce that? How do you call that animal?
Raccoon or raccoon.
Yeah, raccoon. Francisco Lindor is from Puerto Rico, said raccoon, right? He was saying raccoon?
I've heard some people say it that way,
I've
too.
I've heard that, too. And now that I hear Francisco Lindor say it, I can't stop saying it that way. I've always said raccoon. But, yeah, raccoon. Raccoon or raccoon? Raccoon. Raccoon. Now you say it so often, it sounds weird. I always love the song Rocky Raccoon or Rocky Raccoon from the Beatles. Anyways, come up with a better story than that. You maybe don't want to tell us that you were fighting. Okay, fine. Come up with a better excuse than the fact that you're debating in the tunnel in the middle of a game. Hey, is this a rat or a raccoon? And I can tell you, I've seen videos and images. I would not want to see one of those New York rats up close and personal either. I don't know why Lindor would be so excited about that. That's disgusting. We'll wrap up your Monday when we come back. We've gotten to the biggest scandal. We've gotten to the biggest, say, controversy. When we come back, somebody may have helped us settle a big debate in the sports world over the weekend. We'll wrap up with that next. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
What a funky finish to your Monday afternoon here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. You can always take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through TuneIn Radio or your smart speaker. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least five different states throughout this Monday afternoon. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts. Got to plenty today, as always, talking about the best TV moms of all time, with yesterday being Mother's Day. Hopefully you had a great Mother's Day yesterday, celebrating the moms in your life. Before we go, we've gotten to the biggest scandal in the sports world from the weekend. We got to the biggest controversy in the sports world over the weekend. Could you confuse a rat for a raccoon? And now it's time to settle maybe one of the bigger debates. You know, there's Gamecock fans will always tell you that they are the true USC. Forget the Trojans out west. It's all about South Carolina. Well, they had a graduation over the weekend for South Carolina. Here was the president, Bob Caslin, in his speech at graduation over the weekend for South Carolina. And the school's very own president may have put an end to who the true USC is.
Now my honor and privilege to officially congratulate you as the newest alumni from the University of California. Congratulations, and please be seated. Never mind. Sorry about that.
That was Bob Caslin. I think that was Friday night, the graduations, Williams-Brice. The school president, when thinking of USC, now, as Joe just said in my ear, right, it wasn't like he said the right USC. He just said California, but that's because that was in his mind. Of we always talk about USC, Carolina, or California. Even the own president of the Gamecocks is calling them California. I guess he also plagiarized the end of his speech as well from a different graduation speech a few years ago from another military person. I have no idea. So all sorts of issues with podcasts. Not a good look. Obviously, it's a Freudian slip. It does not look good when your president is up there saying the wrong school. But when even the own president of the school is saying, right, what he meant to say there is that the real USC is out in California. That's why California was on his mind, not here in Columbia, South Carolina.
And I've always said South Carolina should go by U of SC.
Yeah.
That's already their Twitter handle, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Just like C of C, College of Charleston.
Yeah.
Arizona goes by U of A. And I think Louisville, see, I noticed I pronounced it correctly.
Oh, okay.
Louisville is U of L.
Yes, I believe you're right, yeah. That would make more sense. Now we could get into the whole debate about who came first, whatever, yada, yada, yada. But historically, like throughout the country, when you mention USC, I have never done a poll, a scientific poll on this. I imagine the majority of people would immediately jump to the Trojans, the University of Southern Cal, instead when thinking of USC.
Outside the state.
Yes, certainly outside of the state, right, nationally. And including, I guess, even Bob Caslin as well. I remember my graduation, it rained. I have no idea what, I have no recollection of anything that was said that day. It started raining, you just wanted to get the heck out of there. Like, I don't care what you're saying, just say it quickly so we can get out, because it was an outdoor graduation and we were out in the rain. There were two graduations that day. I was in the afternoon graduation. It was beautiful in the morning. By the time I had to graduate, it was pouring, and it's like, well, this is just terrible. You ever just sit outside and in the rain without an umbrella, and you just get pounded on by rain sitting there? It sucks. That was my graduation. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we have to say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon. It's the Mara Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.